18. Ralph Anderson and State Police Detective Unell Sablo met with the Flint County DA that evening in the den of Bill Samuels' home on the city's north side, an almost posh neighborhood of large houses that aspired to McMansion status and didn't quite make it. Outside, Samuels' two girls were chasing each other through the backyard sprinkler as dusk slowly dissolved into dark. Samuels' ex-wife had stayed around to cook dinner for them. Samuels had been in fine fettle all through the meal, often patting his ex's hand and even holding it for brief periods, to which she did not seem to object. Pretty chummy for a couple living in Splitsville, Ralph thought, and good for them. But now dinner was finished. The ex was packing up the girls' things, and Ralph had an idea that D.A. Samuels' good mood would soon be finished, too. A pictorial history of Flint County, Dury County, and Canning Township sat on the den's coffee table. It was in a clear plastic baggie, taken from one of Ralph's kitchen drawers and slipped carefully over the book. The funeral cortege now looked blurry because the shrink wrap had been dusted with fingerprint powder. A single print, a thumb, stood out on the book's front cover near the spine. It was as clear as the date on a new penny. "There are four more good ones on the back," Ralph said. "It's how you pick up a heavy book. Thumb in front, fingers on the back, slightly splayed to support. I would have printed it right there in Cap City, but I didn't have Terry's prints for comparison purposes. So I grabbed what I needed at the station and did it at home." Samuels elevated his brows. "You took his print card out of evidence?" "Nah, photocopied it."
"Don't keep us in suspense," Sablo said.
"I won't," Ralph said. "They match. The prints on this book belong to Terry Maitland." The Mr. Sunshine, who'd sat beside his ex at the dinner table, disappeared. Mr. Gonna Rain a Bitch took his place.
"You can't be sure of that without a computer match."
"Bill, I was doing this before there was such a thing. Back in the days when you were still trying to look up girls' skirts in high school study hall. They're Maitland's prints, and computer comparison will confirm it. Look at these." He took a small bundle of cards from the inner pocket of his sport coat and laid them out in two rows on the coffee table. "Here are Terry's prints from his booking last night, and here are Terry's prints from the shrink wrap. Now you tell me." Samuels and Sablo leaned forward, looking from the row of cards on the left to the ones on the right. Sablo sat back first.
"I buy it."
"I won't without a computer comparison," Samuel said. The words came out sounding stilted because his jaw was jutting. Under other circumstances, that might have been funny.
Ralph made no immediate reply. He was curious about Bill Samuels and hopeful, he was hopeful by nature, that his earlier judgment about the man, that he might cut and run if faced with a really spirited counterattack, had been wrong. Samuel's ex-wife still held him in some regard, that had been obvious, and the little girls loved him big time. But such evidence only spoke to one facet of a man's character. A guy at home wasn't necessarily the same guy at work, especially when the fellow in question was ambitious and faced with a sudden obstacle that might nip all his big plans in the bud. These things mattered to Ralph. They mattered a great deal because he and Samuels were bound together by this case, win or lose.
"It's impossible," Samuels said, one hand going to brush down the cowlick, but tonight the cowlick wasn't there. Tonight it was behaving. "He can't have been in two places at the same time."
"Yet so it appears," Sablo said. "Until today, there was no forensic evidence in Cap City. Now there is."
Samuels brightened momentarily. "Maybe he handled the book at some prior date, preparing his alibi. All part of the setup."
Apparently forgetting his previous assessment that the murder of Frank Peterson had been the impulse act of a man who could no longer control his urges. "The idea can't be discounted," Ralph said, "but I've seen a lot of prints, and these look fairly fresh. The quality of the friction ridge detail is very good. That wouldn't be the case if these had been made weeks or months ago."
Speaking almost too softly to hear, Sablo said.
Mano, it's like you took a hit on 12 and got a face card.
What? Samuel snapped his head around.
Blackjack, Ralph said. He's saying it would have been better if we hadn't found it, if we'd just stood pat.
They considered this. When Samuel spoke, he sounded almost pleasant, a man just passing the time.
Here's a hypothetical for you. What if you had dusted down that shrink wrap and found nothing, or just a few unidentifiable blurs?
We wouldn't be better off, Sablo said, but we wouldn't be worse off.
Samuels nodded.
In that case, hypothetically speaking, Ralph would just be a guy who'd bought a fairly expensive book. He wouldn't throw it away, he'd call it a good idea that didn't pan out and put it on his shelf. After stripping off the shrink wrap and throwing it away, of course.
Sablo looked from Samuels to Ralph, his face giving nothing away.
And these fingerprint cards? Ralph asked. What about them?
What cards? Samuels asked.
I don't see any cards. Do you, Yoon?
I don't know if I do or not,
Sablo said.
You're talking about destroying evidence, Ralph said.
Not at all. This is all just hypothetical. Samuels again raised his hand to brush at the cowlick that wasn't there. But here's something to think about, Ralph. You went to the station first, but did the comparison at your home. Was your wife there?
Jeannie was at her book club.
Uh-huh. And look, the book's in a glad bag instead of an official one. Not entered into evidence.
Not yet, Ralph said. But instead of thinking about the different facets of Bill Samuels' character, he was now forced to think about the different facets of his own.
I'm just saying that the same hypothetical possibility might have been in the back of your own mind.
Had it been? Ralph could not honestly say. And if it had been, why had it been? To save an ugly black mark on his career now that this thing was not just going sideways but in danger of tipping over?
No, he said. This will be logged into evidence and will become part of discovery. Because that kid is dead, Bill. What happens to us is small shit compared to that.
I agree, Sablo said.
Of course you do,
Samuel said. He sounded tired.
Lieutenant Yoon Sablo will survive either way.
Speaking of survival, Ralph said, what about Terry Maitland's? What if we really do have the wrong man?
We don't, Samuel said. The evidence says we don't.
And on that note, the meeting ended. Ralph went back to the station.
There he logged in a pictorial history of Flint County, Dury County, and Canning Township and stored it in the accumulating file. He was glad to be rid of it. As he went around the building to retrieve his personal car, his cell rang. It was his wife's picture on the screen, and when he answered, he was alarmed by the sound of her voice.
Honey, have you been crying?
Derek called from camp.
Ralph's heart kicked up a notch. Is he all right?
He's fine. Physically fine. But some of his friends emailed him about Terry and he's upset. He said it must be wrong, that Coach T would never do a thing like that.
Oh, is that all? He started moving again, feeling for his keys with his free hand.
No, it's not all, she said fiercely. Where are you?
At the station, then headed home.
Can you go to county first? And talk to him?
To Terry?
I guess I could if you'll agree to see me, but why?
Set aside all the evidence for a minute. All of it, on both sides, and answer me one question, truly and from your heart. Will you do that?
Okay. He could hear the faraway drone of semis on the interstate. Closer, the peaceful summer sound of crickets in the grass growing alongside the brick building where he had worked for so many years. He knew what she was going to ask.
Do you think Terry Maitland killed that little boy?
Ralph thought of how the man who'd taken Willow Rainwater's cab to Dubrow had called her ma'am instead of by her name, which he should have known.
He thought about how the man who'd parked the white van behind Shorty's pub had asked directions to the nearest dock in the box, although Terry Maitland had lived in Flint City all his life. He thought about the teachers who would swear Terry had been with them, both at the time of the abduction and at the time of the murder. Then he thought about how convenient it was that Terry had not just asked a question at Mr. Harlan Coben's talk, but had risen to his feet as if to make sure he would be seen and recorded. Even the fingerprints on the book. How perfect was that?
"Ralph, are you still there?"
"I don't know," he said. "Maybe if I'd coached with him like Howie, but I only watched him coach Derek. So the answer to your question, truly and from my heart, is I just don't know."
"Then go there," she said. "Look him in the eyes and ask him."
"Samuels is apt to rip me a new one if he finds out," Ralph said.
"I don't care about Bill Samuels, but I care about our son. And I know you do too. Do it for him, Ralph. For Derek."